Welcome back to Word on the Hills, with me, Felicity Sitnall-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Shabbat Legion, author of numerous short stories published in international anthologies. She is currently writing a series of novels under the series title, Vampire Therapy. Well, Shabbat, I believe the first of your books in the Vampire Therapy series is a collection of short stories. Could you tell us about that? You're republishing it, are you not?
Yes, I am. Vampire Therapy started off with a series of novellas that are being collected and have been illustrated by a fabulous artist named Phil. I plan to release that very shortly.
Are you releasing that as an e-book as well as a...
No, I like to have my books so that I can hug them, hold them, and kiss them.
Very understandable. So tell us how that collection, though, led you to write the novels Jackson and Eva and now Elizabetta.
The inhabitants of the Cat's Ass Boutique introduced themselves to me one day, asking for their stories to be told. At the time, I politely refused, being busy at that point with other writing projects. Abraham, Elizabetta, his estranged wife, Petra, Duke, and Lily persisted, offering snippets of their lives and backgrounds, besieging me with images and family photos. Fine, I said, but vampires? Really? What more can be done here? Hasn't this vampire thing played itself out? How can I do it differently?
Uh-huh.
And
but
I did.
You did.
I did.
So, do you plan more novels of this series?
There are 4 novels planned in this series, with the chronicles following the progression. By that I mean the short stories are not static, using the same characters, but keeping pace with the novels and additional characters.
Oh, I see.
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different.
Yes.
Instead of using the same characters over and over again, the stories themselves are following the novels. So as the novel story changes, so do the stories themselves.
Uh-huh.
And that way I can bring in different characters and have
sure.
a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
It becomes a whole universe.
And do you think it's more difficult to write a novel than a short story? How do you keep up the suspense and so on in a longer piece?
Both novels and short stories have their pros and cons. It could be said that a novel is easier to write because you do not have to be as concerned with the limitations a short story presents. Then again, a short story can be easier to write for those exact same reasons. The limitations themselves force you to stay within certain boundaries. Both are about balances.
But you really like short stories.
I do. I do. I love the short story. The shorter the story, the better. I find it to be the ultimate challenge. In Dreamers in Hell, Ophine the Undertaker was 324 words. Yeah. And I managed to tell an entire story in 324 words. And I'm proud of that.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to somebody just starting out writing stories?
Grow a very tough skin. Not everyone is going to love you. You have to love what you do so much that all the rejection in the world will not stop you. You have to want it so much that you refuse to give up in the face of rejection because it's there. It's always there. It can be there for other reasons than your writing. It can be that the story is good, but it's not the right fit for an anthology. And maybe that you write in the voice that is yours and yours alone is not like everyone else's and nobody knows how to market it or even wants to try it. And I'm a really good example of that, by the way, because as when they say, the quirky mind of Shabbat Legion, they mean it. And never forget, there is competition, lots of it. There are many writers in this world and they all want the same thing, to be published. Expect nothing, write anyway. Be prepared to be lonely. Experience feelings of doubt and insecurity. Expect fear and then use those feelings and write about them. Always use what you know, what you feel. Bleed onto those pages without any expectations and then love that it hurts that much because if it didn't, it wouldn't be real. Love what you do. Writing is a passion and that passion is consuming. Let that passion take you past your comfort zone. There is only you and the words that you put on that page. Love it because you must. At the end of the day, Your words will be there for you, like a beacon welcoming you home. Never, ever stop, no matter what happens, how tragic, how wearisome. Keep writing.
Thank you. That's pretty harsh advice, but very good advice. Now, would you like to read a piece from Jackson and Eva?
I'm going to read from Jackson and Eva.
Great.
Jackson and Eva is a patchwork quilt of quirky characters that combine humor, drama, horror, and pathos set within a time-spanning backdrop. This is the story of the dissolution of the marriage of two mortals, Jackson and Eva, who have become a part of the lives of the inhabitants of the Cat's Ass Boutique, a vampire nightclub. I'm going to read from Chapter 8, some very special guests. The day after Eva's adventure at the Cat's Ass Boutique was a Sunday, and that meant staff meeting day. Mr. Abraham and his staff were also bidding farewell to two out-of-town visitors, two special women who had stopped in to offer congratulations on the opening of the club, and who had brought several bags of a rare-blood type in which to raise a glass. Compact squeezed the shaken blood into goblets, and Corset set to distributing them, somehow missing Lily's eagerly outstretched hand. "Hey?" Lily ventured. "Oh," said Corset, patting Lily's blonde head. "I didn't notice you, dear." Duke, Lily's little brother and bartender extraordinaire, sidled into the room quietly, and Corset quickly turned her back on Lily and squeezed him off a glass. "Ah," Duke sighed after taking a sip. "Tastes just like cinnamon." Mr. Abraham, his trench coat pressed for the occasion, a carnation in his lapel and a jaunty red beret perched upon his gray-streaked hair, spread his hands out and welcomed Compat and Corset, a grandiose look on his face and a premature glint of triumph in his eyes, that these ladies, these two divine beings, had paid a visit to his club, lent it a veneer of cool it never would have had otherwise. "It is my utmost pleasure to be graced by the honor of your company," he nodded to both women respectfully. "I hope your evening was a pleasant one." "Oh," Compat gushed, squeezing out yet another goblet of blood, looking as bashful as a celebrity caught without makeup. "It has been fun. What a simply smashing idea and quite original," she nodded eagerly. "That game with Jackson, what a hoot. I'm sure it must be so much more fun to play with one's food." Mr. Abraham frowned. Petra reached for the goblet intended for Lily, who, with hand outstretched, opened her mouth in silent protest. Petra said earnestly, "It is not just a game. Our master is truly helping someone." At this, Corset gave a guffaw. "Hey, babe, you aren't still making amends after all these years, are you?" To which he mumbled, "It's a matter of balances. For every life taken, one is saved, thus creating a harmony in the karmic cycle, the yin to the yang, so to speak." Corset raised her eyebrows in amused disbelief and then picked up the ivy bag, gently squeezing some of its contents into Lily's goblet. "I'm not invisible, you know," Lily grumbled, still out of sorts. Compet said, "I'm so sorry, my dear. Of course you aren't invisible. It's just that you are so very..." She gestured helplessly. "So very what?" snapped Lily. "So..." Compact trailed off. Lily scowled and crossed her arms over her breasts. Corset, having caught on to the joke, reached over to touch Lily's knee. "I think what Compact is trying to say, you are hard to see past all that blonde and..." She made an exaggerated hourglass figure with her hands. With the exception of Mr. Abraham, who simply blew out his lips in exasperation, the rest of the staff of two went deathly quiet. "Uh-oh," said Duke. "Oh," breathed Lily. Mr. Abraham raised a tardy hand in an attempt to stop the upcoming outburst, but it was too late. "So what? Petra is a blonde. She dyes her hair, but she is a blonde. Duke is a blonde. Even you know who is a blonde. Mr. Abraham's eyes glittered in rage and embarrassment. Yes, you know who. Your wife. I have a college degree, and my name is Lillian. She shrieked in anger. It's bad enough being used this way, but Lily the vampire just sounds tacky. She glared at Mr. Abraham, who glared back in a heady promise of dark retribution. Clearing his throat, the vampire master adjusted his collar. Yes, quite. He threw a quick look at Petra, who shrugged helplessly. As I was saying, it is about balances. I have been doing a lot of reading on this subject, and one must be tidy about these things. I am not a blonde bimbo, screamed Lily. Oh, pooh, snorted Corset in response to Mr. Abraham's professed philosophy and ignoring Lily's outburst. Now, now, cautioned Compact, who are we to judge? We but hold the threads of time. To each his own, I always like to say. Now, she smiled and reached into her overstuffed Scottish Terrier decorated duffel bag and took out tastefully wrapped presents and started handing them around. Corset quickly followed suit and produced a bag of party decorations, noisemakers, and colorful paper hats. Ooh, squealed Lily. And then her eyes glazed and hardened. Look what you have done to me! I sound like a squeaky toy! A humiliated Mr. Abraham began to fidget. Compact quickly raised her goblet and offered a toast. To Mr. Abraham and the beginning of a lovely new adventure. Staff and visitors clinked glasses all around, all except for Lily, who just glowered as she watched Mr. Abraham lean forward to accept the toast. And that is when Jem walked in.
Many thanks, Shabbat. That was really fun. We've been talking with author Shabbat Legion. Where can our listeners buy your book, Shabbat?
Amazon.com.
Okay. And a number of them have been issued as e-books, is that right?
E-book as well as paperback, yes.
Yeah. And listeners, if you would like to connect with us with comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs, please leave your comment at our website, www.wordonthehills.com. If you've missed a program or would like to listen to one again, you'll find all our broadcasts archived at that website too. You can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, Sundays at 1 p.m, repeated on Thursdays at 1 a.m. on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio.